been a big fan of this music. That's why I've been here at WBGO for 36 years. But inside of that, I've always been a huge fan of Ted Nash, whether he has an alto, a tenor, a soprano, or a clarinet, or any of the other things that he does. His environment has included giving new musical sensibilities to some of the great visual artists of our time, like Van Gogh and Pollock and Picasso and Matisse and Dali and Monet. He has interpreted the pace and the sensibility and the spirit of something that's all too rare today, the great speeches that brought our country and our world together. It won him a Grammy Award. He has come together with the Odeon Band that I loved. I hope they come back to visit soon. He has also approached the music of Henry Mancini. Seems like a natural. Both his father and his uncle were part of the original. And he's here today with his good friend at the piano, Gary Versace. Please give a warm morning jazz welcome to Ted Nash.
Mm-hmm.
It's live this morning on WBGO, and tonight through Sunday, That Kind of Spirit will be live at Dizzy's. That's D-I-Z-Z-Y apostrophe S. And it's Ted Nash and Gary Versace, two-fifths, please, 40% of a quintet that's celebrating his first live recording in a quarter century. Captured live at Dizzy's Club Coca-Cola. Good morning, sir. Thank you for coming down here.
You're good at math.
Good morning. One of the few things I'm good at, but my checkbook, I don't know. It's not working out. How you doing today?
Oh, man? Good. Really good. Look excited about this weekend. Yeah.
Tonight. I'll bet. Yeah. The quintet also of Rufus Reed and Warren Wolf and Matt Wilson. And if you thought the interplay between these two guys was something special in them, I hope you heard them talking the way I did. You should hear it when all five of them are talking together. I mean, those fills that Matt does on the drums and the cymbals and the
Nobody like Matt Wilson. I mean, just, you know.
Having fun. And, you know, last year was the centennial of Thelonious Monk, and T.S. said, you know, my daddy didn't mean for this music to be the same as he made it. He made this music for people to get on the horse and ride it.
Mm-hmm.
That's kind of a reggae exposure that you got going with this anyway at Dizzy's.
Yeah.
And on the recording.
Mm-hmm.
Mind you, wait a quarter of a century. I guess you were busy with, you know, doing the Mancini project and interpreting great visual artists and great speech makers of our time. It's interesting to note that here we are 40 years later with Ted Nash, and your first recording was called Conception. It never stops, does it?
Yeah, I was a punk. I was a kid. But, you know, I look back at that, and you know, I think those first 4 or 5 years that you are playing and learning is a good 90% of what you end up knowing and playing the rest of your life. It's amazing how at 19, or I think 18 when I recorded that, I hear things now that it's like, I did know a lot of stuff. But there's a certain maturity that you get over the next 40 years that is something that I wouldn't trade. It's playing like with people like Gary Versace and Matt, that, you know, you constantly are opening up and learning and experiencing things new every time, hopefully. And that's the beauty of this music, that it is different every time. And we grow and we learn and we enjoy it. And hopefully we keep in that spirit for our whole lives.
Yes, and we push forward. But yet, there's a look behind. And when I see and hear Warren Wolf, some of your early experiences were with the great West Coast vibraphonist Charlie Schumann.
Yeah, he was my teacher, and he was responsible, I would say, for me getting together a lot of the basic language, the mainstream sort of post-bop language, coming from memorizing probably 80 solos from people like Bird and Sonny Rollins and Clifford Brown, which he transcribed and gave to me. So, you know, I have so much credit to give him and his wonderful method, and he's still playing and sounding great, but there's always been a part of my, I don't know, soul that loves the vibes, and so this recent project is the last couple times we played at Dizzy's with Warren has been sort of to, you know, give notice to Charlie and what kind of influence he has had on me, and just getting back to that thing that I did a lot when I was a teenager is play with him and play in a setting with vibes and saxophone and flute. So it's fun to come back to that.
Now we should also mention for the folks that are listening right now. That Ted grew up in a household where you might say there was some music that was in that household. Both his father, a very accomplished trombonist, Dick, and his uncle, Ted, a very accomplished alto saxophone player and also tenor player, both part of those early Mancini recordings, but also Les Brown and some other things that was going on. So you grew up, were you aware exactly what was going on at the time? Tell the story about the day I'm here to see my daddy.
Oh, I think I know what you're talking about.
Yeah.
No, you know, first of all, you grew up in a household with musicians. My mother was a fantastic singer. And you see, like, my father coming home from work and happy and fulfilled. And so maybe you don't know exactly what's going on at 6 or 7, but I see him coming home from work and hearing people talk about how great a trombone player he is, and how open they were as people. I mean, how they opened up their home to not only musicians, but, I mean, they did a lot of civil rights activities and everything. But so it felt very natural for me to follow in the footsteps of both my uncle and my father and my mother by playing an instrument and playing jazz. Now they both quit really jazz as their main focus and went into commercial music in the studios. But at that time, the music was so beautiful. I mean, there's such great music being made now, but there was a time where the orchestras, they had bigger budgets, the lush writing, Johnny Mandel, people like that. And my dad did all of that stuff, including the stuff for Henry Mancini, which Henry Mancini had such an amazing gift for songwriting, but also just for texture and bringing that. Yeah, I think the story to which you're referring is regarding Henry Mancini, am I correct?
Yes.
Yeah. Well, I was 16 and I was home practicing or whatever, and it was in the middle of the summer. I remember because I was in shorts and a t-shirt, and my hair was all sweaty and mess, kind of like today. And I get this call on the phone. My dad, he's like panicked. He said, "I'm so glad you're home. Could you come over to the studio right now with my baritone horn?" I said, "Yeah." So I went out to his thing and I got it, put it in the car, my little VW Bug, and I drove out to wherever the studio was. And I came into the control room and they were looking at this little kid with a horn, like, "Are you lost, little boy?" And I said, "No, my dad's in the studio. He needs this horn right away." And they said, "Oh, okay, go ahead, go on into the studio." And I look and there's that red light, it says recording. And I was like, well, they told me to go in. So I open the door and I walk into a full orchestra with horns and strings. And what I see is Henry Mancini just giving a downbeat for a take. And he looks over at me like, "What? You've just ruined this." And I was just so sheepish. And my dad just saw me and just kind of signaled me for me to come over and give him the horn. And then I left. I felt really bad. But they told me to go in.
But what a sense memory, man. I mean, that's incredible, these sense memory things that you have as part of your life.
Well, I loved sitting in those studios. I mean, my dad would invite me when I was 12, 13, and I started off as a clarinet player. I wanted to be a classical clarinetist. And I used to sit behind my uncle or behind the reed section and watch them record, like, Mod Squads with Quincy or Partridge Families or Mary Hartman. I would just be sitting right with the woodwind section while they were recording this music. And I for a long time wanted to do that. It was just such a great experience.
Your father, a fine trombonist, we should mention that first tune that you heard, the arrangement that you will hear in the club, the arrangement that you hear on this new recording live at Dizzy's Club Coca-Cola, was done by trombonist Chris Crenshaw, who tours with you all around the world as part of the Jazz at Lincoln Center Orchestra.
Yeah, we've done a lot of Monk's music, and he did a big band version of this that started off with a reggae groove, and we just sort of adopted that into this quintet setting, and it works really great.
Two other things that lead us right in the right direction, because after all, it's jazz, as you keep your ears open. I heard two things from Ted a moment ago. One was the name Johnny Mandel, and the other was clarinet. Tell me about Emily and this version that we're going to hear this morning.
Well, my firstborn child 30 years ago, it was Emily, and a name that we loved so much, but also we loved the song. And my dad did a lot of recording with Johnny Mandel, who wrote the beautiful standard Emily that was from the movie The Americanization of Emily. And so when Emily was born, Johnny took a piece of sheet music of the score of Emily and autographed it to Emily. "This is for you," and sent it to us. So we still have that. And it's really beautiful. And my dad has been a friend of Johnny's for years and still to this day. And why this is particularly poignant and important to me for this recording and for tonight and through Sunday in the club is that my oldest child, Emily, is transgender and is now Eli. And it's something that just, well, he's come out only in the last 2 years or so. And it's been, you know, quite an adjustment for everybody to embrace his new gender. And I mean, it's the same person. It's like, it's interesting because you would think that would be a bigger adjustment, but it really isn't. It's more about honoring his, you know, what his struggles were and how he's found this gender change is really makes him much more confident, and he's in medical school. I'm so proud of him. And so we played Emily as a tribute to Eli, you know, and that's very meaningful, obviously, to
and
me.
Those kinds of things can be extremely difficult for families. But I would think, just by nature, that it would be much more compatible for a jazz musician, because they never look at the standard as the standard. What can I do with this? And the same thing applies to one's life.
I think as jazz musicians, it's based on flexibility and improvisation and embracing the new sounds that we're hearing constantly. And this is just a new sound. And again, what attachment do I have to Eli being Emily? I mean, I don't. I want my attachment is for Eli to be as happy as possible. And I was a little bit concerned that maybe a couple of my family members wouldn't be as understanding, but I was completely wrong. Everybody was like, "Great, awesome, Emily, Eli. Let's what's going on." So everything has never been an issue. It's just been a very positive experience for everybody, especially
great.
For Eli.
That's great.
Eli.
That's great to hear, man.
Thank you for asking.
And positivity prevails tonight, tomorrow night, Sunday night. Where? Dizzy's Club Coca-Cola, the fifth floor of Jazz at Lincoln Center. And if you're lucky, there'll be one of these incredible electrical thunderstorms like there was the other night for Victor Provost. And behind him, there was just this incredible light show that was going on. And the first ooh and ah, he thought it was for him. And they were pointing behind him. And then he turned around and went, "Oh, the light show, I see." And through the whole set, man, were these finger-like lightning bolts coming down. But coming down from the stage and out from the stage, because the quintet of Warren Wolf on vibes and Matt Wilson on drums and Bassmaster Rufus Reed, as well as the gentleman who's at our piano this morning, pianist Gary Versace, join Ted Nash live at Dizzy's Club Coca-Cola, where this new recording was captured. And we're thrilled to have Gary and Ted with us this morning. And for Eli, here's Emily with Ted Nash on clarinet. It's live on WBGO. It's one of the ways we say thank you for your support.
Mm-hmm.
right to the end. Did you hear that? Did you hear that conversation? Oh, man. Just gorgeous. Ted Nash on the clarinet. Gary Versace at the piano. By the way, he's no slouch at the B3 either, those of you that need a dose of grease, as Chris McBride says. Maybe some of you, too much of your music lately have been gluten-free. Need to go for that Crisco. Check out Gary on the B3, but also you know him from Maria Schneider and other. I saw him one time with Kurt Elling, I think. Madeline Peru, the Gypsy Lady on the Road, and much more. Together they obviously are connecting here this morning. They'll connect tomorrow night with the addition of Rufus Reed on the bass, Warren Wolf on the vibraphone, and Matt Wilson on the drums. It's a three-night celebration and could go on for 3 months, I suspect. Dizzy's Club Coca-Cola, the Ted Nash Quintet. It's also the focus of a new live recording captured at that very same club.
Return to the scene of the crime.
Yes, indeed. They let you back. No, you don't have to wear a mask or any makeup or anything to get in the door.
I got to buy a new suit.
Boy, I'll tell you, the clarinet suits you, and that's where you started. And I would imagine it's better to start there as opposed to starting, say, on the alto and then approaching the clarinet, because the clarinet is the more difficult instrument. Isn't
it? It's a beast.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, by the time I get to students, usually it's too late because they've already started a saxophone. But it's always best when you start on it. But you got to keep playing it. And I don't. You know, it's so funny. I don't improvise a lot on the clarinet. I feel like I have to kind of spend some time to get really intimate with it in that way. Like even just now, it's like it feels great to play with Gary and all that. I haven't really been playing on the clarinet that way. So it's, yeah, if you're not playing it all the time, there's a freedom that you want that I think is much easier to find in the saxophone with the type of fingering system it has. But the clarinet is such a beautiful and warm instrument, and I love when I do get a chance to play it.
Beautiful and warm are two words that it takes years in order for you to be able to use those words as it applies to the clarinet. I'm thinking of my own sister when she had the clarinet. You know, there were geese in the front yard by the time she got done, and it was a painful experience.
Yeah, no, I avoided it for a long time. Like, you know, sometimes you run away from something, and it's just better to embrace it. I mean, even if you don't feel like you're Benny Goodman or Eddie Daniels or whatever, it's just another color. It's another way to express yourself, and I love playing it now.
Sure. Well, it's obvious because it certainly translates to the people listening right now. You're listening to WBGO. I'm Gary Walker, and this is why you support this public radio station. We're chatting with Ted Nash and enjoying his and Gary Versace's playing together this morning on WBGO. Tonight through Sunday, live at Dizzy's Club Coca-Cola, the quintet celebrates this new live recording. You just got off the road, so to speak. You were at a jazz camp for a lot of the month of July, and that attitude is something that's very near and dear inside of you too, isn't it?
Education?
Yes.
You know, yes, and education is such an interesting thing because it takes a lot of time and a lot of dedication, and I think at a certain point in your life, it's me time. It's about me. It's about me, right? I mean, like in your 20s and 30s, it's really about trying to find yourself, and then at a certain point, like when you've seen that Clark Terry documentary about him teaching the piano student, And I talk about this with Winton. I mean, Winton and I are about the same age. We have kids the same age. We grew up at the same time with fathers who are musicians. There's so many similarities to us. And it's so interesting to see how we both have embraced teaching in a way that when we work with these students for 2 weeks at summer camp, say, or essentially Ellington, by the end, we always end up crying at some point because we get so emotionally moved by seeing the kids and seeing their dedication and passion for the music and having an effect on them. So as much as I sometimes struggle with it because I want to be good and I feel like there's so much to be a good teacher, and yet there's so much payback when you give your time to young students. And so it's a balancing act, really, is between playing and teaching.
You're on Facebook as a teacher, too, are you not? You have an ongoing chat room, I guess you would call it.
Yeah, I just started that about 2 months ago, where maybe once or twice a month I go on and I just I go on live, Facebook Live, and I put a topic, and people can ask questions, and it lasts about an hour usually, and I've talked about different things. I'm going to do one coming up on Monday at 6 p.m. Eastern time, and we're just going to talk about education. Yeah, just talk about what it is, who needs it, how much to do, when to stop, things like that. So, again, it's just an idea for a conversation. I love connecting with people. So
sure, and it's an opportunity for people to connect with someone with the background of yourself. Mm. Same way when you were a kid, you got to connect with a father and with an uncle who made some pretty important music.
They were very inspiring to me, I mean, and continue to be.
Do you remember the music from Peter Gunn?
Well, that started before I was born, I think. I think the TV show started around the time I was born, or maybe before, but I was born. I was born in the very late 50s, 59, so... But I do remember the music because...
I was 10, by the way.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. Henry and I could have gone to lunch.
Oh.
Peter and I could have gone to lunch, right?
Yeah, exactly. Peter Gunn. Yeah, there's so much beautiful playing. But what's interesting about that is that I told you earlier that my father would come home from work, and I remember Mancini, the Pink Panther, The Great Race was a movie I remember going to see when I was six or seven, and my father had trombone solos all throughout the score, and so that was the first time I really had an understanding of what my father did and why it was connected to these movies and what music is. Like the connection of seeing that my father is a live human being with this instrument in his hand, goes off to work, and then here I am in a movie theater and I'm hearing this music, but it was later that I really discovered my uncle because, you know, I, being a teenager, I want to be hit over the head. I want Cannonball Adderley. I want Phil Woods and Coltrane and people who just, you know, and my uncle was part of a school that was a little lighter, coming like with Desmond and Art Pepper and Bud Shank and different people like that. So sure. It didn't really attract me until I was mature enough to see what it was about.
And what it is about is no more apparent, as Ted was telling me earlier this morning, than on the piece of music Dreamsville.
It's so interesting because I bought this book by Henry Mancini called Inside the Score, I think it's a Rayburn Wright book. And in this book, Henry Mancini talks about orchestrating, and he has examples. It had little 45s in there, now it's CDs. And I remember Example 63, the trombone section, and I put on this thing, and it was this track, Dreamsville. It was just an excerpt, and it showed, and listen to the wistful alto solo of Ted Nash as the trombone section shows support in there, whatever. So I'm listening for this to learn about writing for trombones, and I flipped. I was like, oh my God, I have been sleeping on my uncle. That 8 bars changed me. It completely changed how I thought about music. What I felt was a way of expressing. You don't have to shove it down people's throats. You can nuance your way through something, and it can be just as expressive. And that's when I discovered my uncle. I was about 28.
Here this morning on Jazz 88, why Ted Nash was moved the way he was. Here's Henry Mancini and Dreamsville. Henry Mancini this morning on WBGO, featuring Dick Nash in the trombone section and Ted Nash with that incredibly beautiful alto saxophone. for, what'd you say, 8 bars?
Yeah, that bridge. I mean, just the glissando from the low B to the high B. And I've tried to emulate many times.
I was 10 years old, and my mother dropped me off at the record store. Well, she drove around the block. I walked inside, and I was looking for this incredible 45 about Martians landing on planet Earth. And there was a newsman, faux newsman, that would ask questions of the people that were around when the Martians landed, and they would advance the story with clips from songs. We're back here with Farmer Jones right now, and Farmer Jones, the Martians have just, how do you feel? And you'd hear Elvis Presley go, I'm all shook up, right? And so this is what brought me down to the record store. Mm. They didn't have it. They were sold out.
Yeah.
I was, can you imagine a 10-year-old? No, man. When you head out for anything, you're going to come back with something.
Yeah, yeah.
And I looked up on the wall because, you know, LPs had this incredible artwork. And they put them up on the walls in the record stores. Later, they would have listening rooms where I first learned how to make out. But earlier, I walked in, and I looked up on the wall, and there was this kind of broken, looked like shard glass or something. And I said, I want that. And he said, well, son, that's an album. I have $5. Well, that album is $2.98. Good, I want that. Are you sure you want this music? Yes, I do. And I would watch. And the music, by the way, was the music from Peter Gunn. And so it was the very first album I ever bought in my life. And did I know what it was? Of course not. But I knew how that music made me feel when I was watching that television show. Because you turn the sound down, man, and it's a whole different show.
Mm.
Right?
Yeah.
Try it out, folks. MeTV runs Peter Gunn every night. Turn the sound down.
And
it ain't the same.
When you look at credits for movies or TV shows, music is usually like one of the last things. It might be like key grip and gaffer and all that. And then music or orchestration. It's like you've just been listening to music for an hour and 45 minutes.
Yeah.
It's amazing how little credit sometimes the composers get.
Should be a bigger window.
Yeah.
And having said that, Windows is a piece of music. When Chick Corea came and played with the Jazz at Lincoln Center Orchestra, it gave the opportunity for new conversations on both sides. You know, how often does somebody like Chick Corea get to sit down with an incredible ensemble of musicians? On the other hand, how often do you get a chance to say, write and arrange specifically for one of the grandmasters of this music on one of his pieces of music?
Mm-hmm. No, it's a gift. It's such a privilege to be in that spot in the Jazz Lincoln Center Orchestra, be able to orchestrate and arrange for the band and these special guests. It's like Wayne Shorter. We have some incredible guests coming and doing arrangements for them. And I remember one time conducting a piece that I wrote, and Wayne is soloing, and I'm giving him cues, and I'm like, is this for real? I'm trying to pinch myself, but I can't because it's like a live stream. No, but I mean, just, yeah, to have my heroes, Chick Corea, from day one of me knowing this music, has been a huge hero. And to be able to arrange this song, Windows, for him as a guest with Jazz Lincoln Center, was really a treat.
Now, I'm going to go out on a limb here, but I'm looking in the window, folks, and I can pretty much guarantee that one of these three nights, this evening, Saturday or Sunday, you're going to hear that very tune performed by five people as they celebrate Ted's new record with the quintet live at Dizzy's Club Coca-Cola with Warren Wolf on the vibraphone and Rufus Reed on the bass and Matt Wilson on the drums and Gary Versace on piano, who's with us this morning, with Ted Nash. And this one will feature you on the flute.
Yeah, we'll see what my chops are talking about. But yes.
Very good. Ted Nash here on WBGO, Gary Versace on piano, and you, our listeners, the special bunch that make all this stuff happen. And if you'd like to contribute, WBGO.org/support. Your ears are looking through the window. Let your wallet do the same. Thank you. Chicoria's Windows. Performed this morning with Ted Nash on flute, Gary Versace on piano, and a quintet celebrating a new recording captured live at Dizzy's Club Coca-Cola, featuring also Warren Wolf on the vibes and Bassmaster Rufus Reed and the incredibly inventive drummer Matt Wilson joining at Dizzy's Club Coca-Cola. You've heard him this morning if you've been with us the whole hour. Thank you. I'm Gary Walker, and this kind of place, this is how we speak jazz at WBGO Newark. You've heard the alto saxophone. You've heard the clarinet. You just heard the flute. The only thing missing is the piccolo, but you'll get that if you stop at Dizzy's, because the tribute and a hat tip-off to Henry Mancini with the baby elephant walk is also part of that. Hatari
was the movie, yeah.
Yeah.
I remember that. I remember going to that as a kid, too. My dad would take us to all those movies.
Yeah. So what's next for you after the weekend?
I'm in a commission. I'm writing a piece for a sax quartet for the University of Kentucky, so I'm kind of deep in the shed right now. It's the first time I've ever written a piece for just sax quartet, and it's a challenge. I'm enjoying the challenge, but it's a lot of work.
Well, challenge you're no stranger to, and I hold in my hand the Grammy-winning Ted Nash Big Band Presidential Suite, 8 Variations on Freedom, the form music that gives freedom to the timbre and the spirit and the cadence of great speeches from people like John F. Kennedy and Winston Churchill and Nehru and Franklin Roosevelt and Nelson Mandela, Lyndon Johnson, and others, very important moments in the history of the world. This deserved a Grammy, my man.
Oh, thank you. Thank you very much.
So good luck with the quartets. Thank you for stopping by this morning.
Thanks. It's always great to be here.
Gary, thank you as well. And the two of you have just saved my job for another 2 weeks. I appreciate that. Stick around, folks, because Midday Jazz is coming your way next. It's all here at WBGO, and it's all there at Dizzy's Club Coca-Cola. Ted Nash and his quintet tonight through Sunday.